God, we pray that your word may fall on fertile ground. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. We pray that we might be not only hearers, but doers also. We ask these things in the name of the one we seek to follow, the one we call Jesus the Christ. And let the people of God say amen and amen. Again, my name is Raquel Gill, and I bring you greetings from Presbyterian College. Would like to read a passage from the Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. And I'll begin at the 9th verse. John 15 and verse 9. Should read something like this for you. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. As the Father has loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. And this is my commandment, that you love each other just as I have loved you. Verse 12 again. And this is my commandment, that you love each other just as I have loved you. I want to talk this morning from this thought, a recipe for remaining. A recipe for remaining in the love of God. Beloved, in our text chosen for reflection this morning, we find ourselves listening in on a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. This is a few verses before what many scholars have labeled as Jesus' farewell discourse, where he seeks to prepare his disciples for his eventual departure and the life after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. This chapter of John is popular because of the extended metaphor that Jesus uses to signify the importance of his relationship with his disciples. He begins the chapter with a statement about his own identity. He tells them, I am the true vine, and God, my Father, is the vineyard keeper. Yet he also helps the disciples to see their own role and responsibility as the branches. He tells them that as long as the branches remain in relationship with the vine, they can produce much fruit. When a branch is disconnected from the vine, it becomes shriveled up, unproductive, and is in a position to die. Jesus tells his disciples, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will produce much fruit. But what is fascinating in this second portion of the 15th chapter is not only do we see Jesus naming the importance of the branches staying connected to the vine, but Jesus also names the importance of the branches staying connected to each other. In verse 9 of this chapter, we see love taking center stage. Jesus tells his disciples, as the Father has loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. I've been reflecting on this line. As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Jesus is teaching us an important feature about love. Often the love we give to others is a reflection of the love we have been given ourselves. Jesus tells them, I have a holy parent who has shown me deep love. I have a foundational relationship where I experience unconditional love. And because I have had love modeled to me, I have the capacity to give healthy love to you. That's important, friends, because oftentimes I meet adults who sometimes can seem to be unloving. And I've learned that it is because at some point in their lives, they've been made to feel unlovable. Oftentimes when I meet people who struggle to genuinely give love, It is because they have gone through life and had very few experiences where they felt they have genuinely received love. Jesus shows us in the text that love is something you must experience yourself before you can give it to someone else. The love you give is always an extension of the love that you have received. And this verse is significant as we think about Mother's Day. As I was watching the mother and daughter duo, particularly thought about how it brought this particular portion of the sermon to life. Parenting is such a vital ministry because oftentimes the love that children experience from you is the same love that they learn how to model from others. Oftentimes the very first relationships where we learn love are from those who've given birth to us. Jesus says, as the Father loved me, and the love of fathers do matter. I don't want it to negate the importance of the love of God and the love of an earthly father, but many of us here today can also say, as my mother loved me. Many of us here today are the loving people we are because we've been loved by some amazing women. Some of these women are here with us in the flesh, and some of them are now sleeping on the other side, but even when they have gone, the fruits of their love still remain. We are able to show love to our families. We are able to show love within our church and our community. We're able to show love on our jobs because God chose special women to show love to us. Maybe their names weren't mama, but maybe they were grandmama. Maybe they were a special aunt or a special teacher or a special church mother who always showed you the fullness of your potential, whoever they are. You're able to give love today because you experienced love from them. We can write our own passage this morning and say the names of women who loved us so well that they encouraged us to love each other. Jesus tells his disciples, I have loved you. Abide in my love. That word abide means to remain or to stay. It means to get comfortable and cozy in God's love. One translation says, make a home in my love and get comfortable. Do you know what it feels like when you make a home somewhere? Think about how you feel when you are in the privacy of your own home. Home is where you can kick off your shoes. Home is where you can unbutton your pants. Home is where you can take off the mask and take off the facade. Home is where you can be completely you and feel completely loved. Jesus says, make a home in my love. Don't feel like you have to pretend, but make yourself at home because nobody can evict you or put you out of my love. The love of Jesus is where you can let it all hang out, friends. The love of Jesus is that place where you can let go of the pretenses that you put on for everybody else. You don't have to pretend to have it all together, but when you find a home in God's love, you'll find the one place where you are free to fall apart without judgment. The word abide comes from the Greek word meno. And meno doesn't just mean to stay, but it means to stay in the midst of adversity. Jesus knows that he's about to go to the cross. He knows that his disciples are about to experience what is a good Friday for us, but what felt like the worst Friday of their lives. Jesus knows that after the resurrection, he's going to leave his friends. He's going to leave his disciples. He knows that tough days are coming. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus says that when you are uncomfortable in life, get comfortable in my love. When you have to face some difficult days, remember and remain in my love. When this world makes you feel unlovable, when you question your worth or wonder why things are so hard, remain in my love. You can remain in my love because my love will always remain with you. I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'll be with you always, even until the ends of the earth. You can stay in my love because my love is strong enough to stay with you. I'm a witness this morning that the love of God has not only been evident in my life on my good days, but it has sustained and kept me on my bad days. God's love has kept me through all of my mess ups, and they have been many, and my hang ups. God's love has kept me in the midst of my pain, and as I made sense of my suffering, it's good to know that I can remain in God's love, because there's nothing that will separate me from it. Jesus instructs them, as I close, to remain in his love. But lastly, he tells them why they need to remain, and then he tells them how they should do it. And I don't have much time to deal with the why, but it's important to name this morning. Jesus tells them, I'm telling you to remain in my love so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. Here they are about to experience so much confusion, and Jesus is telling them that if you keep my commandment, if you do what I tell you and what I have modeled for you, then your joy will be complete. Reminds me of a student I was having a conversation with the other day. She had a little bit of liquid courage, if you know what that is. Sometimes college students can get that. And as we were going through the process of student conduct, she just began to say, sometimes y'all make all of these rules to just ruin our lives. Y'all just like to ruin the lives of college students. She was really dramatic, which sometimes is a characteristic of the beautiful young people I work with as well. And I began to think about that as I wrote this text, because usually following rules means less joy. Usually following rules, you feel that it stifles your joy and your happiness. But in the kingdom of God, following this rule will complete your joy. He tells them that if you keep my commandments, then you will remain in my love, just like I have kept God's commandments and remained in God's love. And I love Jesus because Jesus is the kind of teacher who models by example. He doesn't just tell you to do something that he's not first put in place himself. Jesus says, I've had to do the same thing that I'm charging you to do. And because it gave me joy, I believe that it will give you joy. Jesus gives them the recipe for remaining in God's love. What is that recipe? The commandment is simple. It's a one-step recipe. If you've listened to the sermon, you already know what it is. Jesus tells his disciples to love each other just as I have loved you. Isn't it fascinating? He says, love each other. To people who've been around each other for the past 3 years. They've been in ministry together. They've walked with one another. And yet Jesus tells them to love each other. Sometimes the most loveless places are Christian communities. Sometimes the very places and people who are supposed to experience and express the love of God can be the places where we experience and express the most judgment. We think about how divided so many churches are. But friends, when Jesus tells us as disciples to love each other, we don't get to choose who that applies to. We don't get to choose who we love. We don't get to choose who is a part of us. But when Jesus says we must love each other, we don't get to choose the each other. Love is the real mark of Christian community. Jesus constantly tells his disciples that their promotion as Christians will not come from the buildings they erect. People will not find out about them because of the ads they put in the paper or on the radio. But Jesus tells them that everyone will know you are my disciples when you love each other. The world will know that you are Christians by your love. It doesn't matter how many scriptures you quote. It doesn't matter how many degrees you obtain. It doesn't matter your skin color or your socioeconomic background or your class status. It doesn't matter your tax bracket or your political loyalties. Jesus says that the world will know we are Christians by our love one for another. We can give love to this world and to each other because we've received special love, unconditional love from God. We are required to give the gift that keeps on giving. And as I close, I was thinking yesterday, how do I make this plain? What does this look like? And my mind went back to last week. I was in Atlanta. We were having brunch and we were having a good time and eating and drinking. I told the waiter to bring the check. I was able to add everything up and I knew what I was about to pay for it and everything like that. And the waiter says, your meal has been covered by the couple who had just left. It was one of those pay it forward trends, right? And so at first we were so excited. We were overwhelmed with gratitude, my mother and I. And then we remembered the name of the trend is pay it forward. So we told him to bring us the check for the couple who was sitting beside us. And when he brought us, you know, their check, we paid for their meal. And then we left. And I sat and I wonder how many times that waiter kept having to come to people's table and say that your meal has already been covered. Your meal has already been taken care of. And friends, that's what the love of Jesus is supposed to be like. When God has been so good to you, you should get so overwhelmed with joy that you want to pass that joy on to someone else. Our joy could not be complete last week until we passed on the love to somebody else. When you have experienced real love, you want to pay it forward. When you have experienced genuine care, you want to pay it forward. When you realize how much God loves you, how much people have loved you, you should want to pay that love forward. So, beloved, my only charge to you today is find a way to pay it forward. Since God has been good to you, find a way to be good to somebody else that you don't know. Since God has loved you, find a way to show love to somebody else. Since people have cared for you, find a way to care for somebody else. Pay it forward, believing that when you love somebody, you empower them to love somebody, and they empower somebody to love somebody else. This is what it means to love each other, because God has loved us, and they will know we are Christians by our love. Amen and amen.